Okay. So yesterday we studied Shammai's statement about Tara and Keva, about turning Tara into something permanent and enduring and long-lasting, not just in practice, but attitudinal. You see Tara as something central and enduring, but it's just a passing fade, it's a hobby, it's a cultural additive. Second statement, which Shammai says, is as follows. It may resonate with familiarity. Emor ma'at vaseh harbe. Let the proportion between your speech and your promises and your designs and your actual execution and performance, let that be lopsided in favor of performance. Or as the popular adage is, speak little and execute a lot. Speak softly and carry a big stick. A lot of people make promises, highfalutin, grandiose promises, and don't always come through. Some people are very modest and minimalist in their offers, but their execution is very generous and very extensive. So amar ma'at vaseh harbe. Why? Why is that important? In what context is that important? So the two paradigms that Shammai provides, or this Mishnah provides, of people, one person who's very, very successful with this, and one person who inverted it, and ironically it's the same structure, even the same person. When Avram hosts the Malachim, he doesn't offer much. He says, come and have a little bit of bread, and then you can pass. And what happens? He gives them bread, he gives them three or four oxen, he gives them mustard according to Chazal, he gives them drink, he gives them milk before Basa B'chalav is Aser. So Avram promises very little, but provides a broad, robust, very generous experience for his guests. By contrast, Ephron Achiti offers Avram the world. I will sell you a plot for Sarah. You'll pay 400 shekel. It'll be easy. You can PayPal it. You can owe it to me. And then when he actually exacts payment and extricates payment, you see he's very demanding, very pedantic. Arba Me'er Shkalim over Lashok. He doesn't just take 400 rand or $400. Real money, $400 for season game. This is real money he takes. Over Lashok. Now you have a contrast, but a similarity. In each situation, you've got a person who's in a position of superiority, of comfort, of leverage. The host, so to speak, Avram is hosting the angels. Ephron is hosting Avram. So the primary scenario in which Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbe should be performed is when you're hosting someone or you're providing to someone that doesn't have their provisions. You're providing to a guest, whether it's a malachim or actual guest, or Avram, who's a guest in town looking for a burial plot. Why is this important? Why is Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbe crucial when you're a host and you're providing someone of need? Well, first of all, if you promise a lot, the person who receives could become very embarrassed that you're going out of your way. Part of hosting someone is not to embarrass them, not to make them feel like they're an intrusion or they're a burden. When the guest feels that they're a burden, they become a little bit insulted, a little bit hurt, a little bit awkward. So you don't want to promise a lot or offer much because you'll be insulting or at least causing embarrassment, awkwardness to your guest. Number two, you'll raise expectations which aren't always met. Very often, one of the most frustrating feelings is when we have expectations that are inflated and they aren't fulfilled. Sometimes we inflate our own expectations. Sometimes it's important in life to enter experiences with limited expectations. When you enter and those expectations are dashed, you can get very disillusioned and very frustrated at a personal level, at a national level. So if you're my guest and I raise expectations and those expectations aren't met, you'll walk away even more disappointed and more frustrated and had the experience not occurred at all. So number one is, I don't want to embarrass you by conveying the feeling that you're a burden, you're an intrusion. Number two is, I don't want there to be an offset between what you expect and what you actually receive. Number three, it's just important to be generous, not just the offset between how much you promise and offer, what you actually provide, but it's also, you want to be a generous person. So our generosity is expressed at the point of execution by over-providing, or providing more than you promise. And probably the epitome or the quintessence of generosity is exhibited in Parshas Vayakeh, Parshas Pekudei, where the Jews are just so enthusiastic and so selfless and so excited, and they're so generous. Generosity is itself a trait. So you always want your provisions to be greater than your promises, because that's a sign of generosity. So Avraham excels, and the people of Hebron fail. Avraham invites the Malachim, promises very little, provides a robust meal. People of Hebron, Ephron promises Avraham an easy sale, an easy acquisition, and the sale becomes very tortured, very painstaking, very litigious, and ultimately Avraham has to pay more than he had promised, or at least more than Ephron had suggested. What's interesting about this is that when Avraham is providing this generosity for his guests, someone's watching. Who's watching? Anyone know who's watching? Sarah's in the tent, so she's not watching. She's part of the baking crew. Yishmael. Yishmael is watching. He's actually involved in some of the provisions. Because I'll say that Avram's trying to teach Yishmael hospitality. So first of all, that's an area that Arab culture excels in, far beyond Western culture, hospitality. And something which Avram was able to ingrain in the Arabic culture at a very early stage of their national collective experience. And one of the interesting things about meeting Jews from Arabic backgrounds, as we call them, Sephardic Jews, is you'll see their level of generosity sometimes, in most cases, far surpasses the type of Achnasas Arachim, in many cases, that Ashkenazim exhibit, because they've just been trained that way, not just through their families internally, but through their surrounding culture. One of the areas that Arabic culture, Western civilization, doesn't always succeed. We've got Airbnb in Western civilization. You can give up your flat. But to take people into your home, to be generous, and to provide, and to let that person have a sense that they belong and can remain as long as they need until the trip continues. Now, what's also interesting about this is that there's another example of Emor Mat Maseh Harbe, not just Avram vis-a-vis the Malachim, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu promises Avram that after I redeem the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, done Anochi. I'll redeem them with two letters, done. And ultimately, based on the Pasuk in Devarim, Chazal tell us that when Hashem redeemed the Jewish people and liberated us from Mitzrayim, He redeemed us with His full name, 72 letters. Without getting into the difference between a two-letter redemption and a 72-letter redemption, why is this important? All those values I spoke about before aren't relevant to Hashem redeeming the Jewish people. It's not like we're His guests, and we'll have false expectations, and we'll feel awkward as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're just the beneficiary of Hashem's theological redemption. Evidently, there's an inherent value to Emor Mat Vaseh Harbe, or an inherent danger of Emor Harbe Vaseh Mat. And it's probably a question of inflation and bragging and self-promotion. And forget the context of a host and a guest, where Emor Mat Vaseh Harbe is important not to embarrass you and not to raise false expectations. Some people are very, very inflationary in their speech. And they speak a big game, and they like to announce themselves, because when you execute, fewer people witness than when you promise. When you promise, it's more likely people will hear, people will share. So there's a self-promotion in how you present and make offers. And during the execution, that's just providing the provisions. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as an exemplar of Emor Mat Vaseh Harbe, is not stressing the dynamic and interaction between a host and a guest, as much as stressing the need not to brag, but to promote yourself, and to draw attention to yourself, and to inflate your own potential, but to do things quietly, and to execute more than you've promised. So this is Shammai's second trait, Emor Mat Vaseh Harbe. The primary examples are in the context of hosting. Avram hosts the Malachim, Ephron hosts Avram, Avram succeeds, Ephron fails. But there's another example of Emor Mat Vaseh Harbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to redeem us from Egypt with two letters, Dan Anochi. He redeems us with 72 letters. That's obviously not based on the host-guest dynamic at Achnasas Arachim. It's based on something larger about not being self-promotional. One of the great challenges of the social media era, the social media culture, is a lot of the social media culture is based on self-promotion. You want to grab attention, you want people to like you, you want people to respond to you. So a lot of Facebook and a lot of social media in general is about promoting self. And it's very dangerous because it creates a culture creep, which we become people of self-promotion rather than quiet, unassuming, modest people, or people of action and performance, not of promotion. Have a good, quiet day of activity, not of self-promotion.